This morning we're moving on in our consideration of parables to parables that are far late, well, not far late, but later in Jesus' ministry. We're actually coming to a parable that was within the last week, potentially, of his life. And before we look at the Bible reading, we're just going to have a short drama, if you like, bringing it up to date, to set the scene before we read this morning's Bible passage. So over to Grace and Lorna. Thank you.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. How's your trip to Grandma going? Oh, good. Yeah, I'm okay. A bit busy with work, but nothing new there. Mum? Well, she hasn't called me or anything, so I suppose she's okay. Dad, Mum's quite capable of getting by without you for 2 days. Don't stress. Look, I'd love to call Mum and have one of her mega chats, but I am back-to-back with meetings today. And anyway, you'll be home soon. Oops, gotta go. Bye, Dad.
Hi, Dad. How's your trip to Grandma going? Good. Yeah, I'm okay. A bit busy with work, but nothing new there. Mum? You're right about her? Well, she can be a bit forgetful sometimes, I guess. She's probably just living off baked beans and toast and wearing yesterday's pyjamas to go shopping in. Only joking. You want me to give her a call? Sure, no worries. You can leave it with me. See you soon, Dad. What is up with Dad these days? He's overthinking everything. Mum just get annoyed if I check up on her anyway. My mobile's just ran out of charge.
Dad sounded quite concerned. He worries way too much. And I am crazy busy today. There is no way I can get trapped into one of Mum's endless ramblings. I don't want Dad getting stressed, though. I suppose I could. Joe, I know we have a 10 a.m. Zoom plan, but could we rearrange to 11? Thanks, that's so helpful. Hi, Mum. How are you doing without Dad?
So that was the drama of the two daughters. Okay, we're going to be looking at this morning the parable of the two sons. And those that want to follow it, it's in Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. So Matthew 21, verse 28. So, Jesus said, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? 'The first,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him.'" Before Liz comes and speaks to us, sort of seeking to really apply that short parable to us here and now, I think it's very helpful for us to have context, in words to understand, okay, the situation and the prior events that were leading up to, okay, him sharing, Jesus sharing this parable. What came before, okay, what events came before Jesus telling this parable? We're going to look at the events leading up to help us understand why Jesus told the story. Well, I've already intimated, explained that this was in the days, okay, in the run-up to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So the first thing to give us context was that Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, had just happened. As Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey with cheering crowds lining the streets, Jesus had allowed himself to be called king. So the first bit of context is Palm Sunday. But then there is also, okay, the clearing of the temple. Jesus turned over tables that, of the people who were trying to make money in the very place of worship, turning upside down, okay, their view of what the temple was about, the temple in Jerusalem. He told the shocked crowds, this place should be a house of prayer, not what they were making it, a house of money. Then we have some questions and answers that Jesus was posed and answered. The religious leaders asked him trick questions about his authority to heal and to forgive sins. And Jesus replied that their faith should be as simple and trusting as a child, childlike faith. And then finally, in context of events that happened immediately before, okay, this, the telling of the parable that we're going to be looking at, is, okay, the fig tree cursed. Jesus used the visual aid of a tree with no fruit to teach his disciples that faith-filled prayer is needed to see God's power released in their lives, in our lives. So four little contextual events. So, what pleases God? Okay, what pleases God? Well, people in Jesus' day, like people today, wanted to know how to live a good life, how to please God. On another occasion in the Gospels, we're told, okay, that a rich man came to Jesus. What must I do? What must I do to have eternal life? We all want to feel that we're making the most of our days. For many people today, the urge to live a significant or meaningful life is not expressed as spiritual meaning, but things to do or places to visit, okay, that you must visit before you die. The horribly named bucket list. Is this really it? Can you say that you've only lived your best life if you've stood on the top of Everest, swum with the dolphins, or witnessed an eclipse of the sun on the top of Machu Picchu in South America? The Bible continually draws us away from these fun but temporary pleasures and tells us that the deepest longings are satisfied only when we turn to God. It's an experience of the spirit and the heart that is required. Then we turn to the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were the respected religious teachers and lawmakers of Jesus' day. They were coming to try and trip him up. People felt that these people would give them guidance that would really help them live godly lives. But Jesus tells those very people that they have burdened the people with religious laws that no one can keep and that God does not require. He rather shockingly uses these words and tells them that the outcasts of society, thieves and prostitutes, have got a better idea of how to please God than the rulers and leaders. Just imagine the uproar that that would have caused. As I say, he said, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Maybe we too have got the wrong idea about how to please God. Maybe this is why what the parable that Jesus told about the two sons was a small but shocking story about how, about the kind of person God can use. It's all about context, first of all. But Liz is now going to seek to apply the parable to us here and now. Thank you, Liz. And I'm just going to give out, sort of relatively randomly, a few slips of paper that Liz would like, okay, used later on.
Thank you, Neil. So sometimes when we read the Bible or we hear a Bible story, we find it interesting that to hear the story, and it's why Jesus told stories, to engage people. Oh, that was an interesting story. Now, this was just a very little story, very short, but it packs a little bit of a punch. And the point of stories is not to sort of, you know, amuse us or even make us sort of, you know, think about things in a very sort of academic way, but to touch our hearts. And as we think and ponder a bit on this story, we're going to ask that God will really touch our hearts and speak to us through that. And there's a verse in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, which I'm going to read out as a prayer. And I'd like you just to sort of perhaps close your eyes for a moment and as it were, read along in your heart. And then if you want to say amen at the end with me, in which we're going to ask God to speak to us. So let's pray. Loving Father, you have given us the living word of God. It's full of energy and it can pierce more sharply than a two-edged sword. It can even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit meet. Will you speak through your word this morning to reveal our true thoughts, lay bare the secrets of our hearts? Will your Holy Spirit meet with us now, we pray. Amen. So what does this all mean for us? We're not living in the time of Jesus when we had religious laws or that were we had to keep. We don't have to follow these laws. How does it apply to us? It's not just a story for people long ago. And I was thinking that really, if you've ever wondered if your past mistakes can be forgiven and forgotten, if you've ever wondered whether you're too young or too old or too anything, really, to make a difference for God, and if you've ever wondered why you're not seeing growth and fruit in your life, or you're not seeing your Christianity growing and your faith growing, then this story is for you. And when we look at this first son, the one that Grace was sort of reading there, he initially said no, but then he had a chance to think, well, actually, I should say yes. He realised he'd got it wrong, decided he'd turn around and do the opposite. And this is the amazing gospel news that we have, that past mistakes, wrong turns, or simply just getting lost, wandering away from things, is no barrier to God. Because what matters is how you respond here and now, today even, to him. So first I'd like to say, don't let past experiences, past things that are in your life, be a barrier to going forwards with God today. One of the things that came before this parable we saw was Jesus talking about the people should be imitating the faith of a child. And we know in other accounts of the gospel where people who are very, very old and recognized Jesus in the temple, and God used them. And nowhere in the Bible do we see you have to be a certain age before God can use you. God delights in using anybody who turns to him. Now have a little think about that, because it's a little bit shocking. If you think about who we have in this church, in age-wise, we're going from very senior and silver-haired down to babies. Can God really use every single one of us for his purposes? I really and truly believe so. Don't count yourself out. Think, I'm not old enough, or I'm not got enough energy to be of any use to God now. That's not so. God delights in using anyone. He used that second son who got it wrong at the start, had a change of heart, and came back again. Now, some of those verses that have gone out, there are three of them, are outlined in blue. If you've got a blue verse, I'd like you to be very brave. And in a minute, we'll just go round and read them out. And nice and loudly, if you want to just sort of stand up a little bit, that will probably be helpful. If you just face the front though and read your verse. And the rest of us are going to listen, because these three verses from the Bible pick up on what we've just thought about. And this is a little quote from John Calvin, who was a very famous preacher and teacher many years ago. He said, "When the Bible speaks, God speaks." Let's hear what the Bible has to say. So, who's got a blue verse? Teresa, off you go.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Thank you, Margaret. So if anyone is in Christ, anyone, the old has gone, the new has come. Thank you, Peter.
To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12.
Right, to all who believed in him. No exceptions there. And we've got one more. Who's got the last blue verse?
I will give you a new heart.
Thank you. God will take away that old heart, that heart of stone, and give us a new heart of flesh. What amazing promises there for you. So hang on to those. But how about the second son? Second son got it a bit wrong, didn't he? Because he spoke a good game, he talked a good game, but he didn't actually come up with the goods. He talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. And we all know the disappointment of being let down by somebody or something. Maybe you've decided a film that is everybody saying, "Oh, it's amazing, you must go and see this film," and you go and sit and watch it and you think, "What was that about? Really not getting that. That was a bit of a disappointment." Or maybe you shelled out a load of money for some really expensive kits, some trainers or some bit of tech or something, and you're looking forward to using it, and then it breaks after a week or something. You think, "Oh my goodness, that was a real disappointment." Or maybe it's friends. You invite a load of friends around to your house, maybe, in the future, and only one turns up. And you think, "Hang on, you said you were going to come. What happened? You've blown me off." It's disappointing. And I wonder if that's just a very small picture of the disappointment God can feel when people say yes to him and then never follow through. As one of the other parables of Jesus spoke about, people who start doing something and then stop. Start building a tower, stop. Start ploughing a field, stop. They never follow through. Maybe for us, we sing our songs on a Sunday and then on a Monday it all goes to pot and we lose our temper with somebody. Maybe we say, "Yes, God, I give you everything," but we forget to include our bank balance in it. Maybe we say, "Wasn't it great somebody new came to church? I haven't spoken to them, I've never invited them for a meal, but great that they came." We're not following through. We're saying one thing, we're doing another. And the Bible says that God looks for faith in action. And if you're wondering why you're not seeing more answers to your prayers or more growth in your spiritual life, then perhaps you have to ask yourself, have I put off doing the thing that God has already asked me to do? And if as a church we're saying we want more of God's power in our church, we want more transformation, more growth, then we should be asking ourselves, have we as a church been faithful to do the things that God has already asked us to do? What has he already asked us to do? To pray, to give, to be hospitable, to love the poor, to preach the gospel. Let's keep going in all of these things. Each of us can play our part to grow a church that's passionate and active, truly living out the church motto. Anybody, what does it say on our church sign? Anybody want to tell me? Under the big Unity Church, it says two phrases. Go on then, somebody be brave. Outside, on the back of the church, there it says, Unity Church. Celebrating God, serving the community. If we just boil it down to those two things, that's what we felt God asked us to be, a community that celebrates God and serves our community. It's quite simple at the root of it. Let's get back to some of those things. And if we can recognise that we've individually or together as a church not lived up to our promises, then we can ask God to change those things that are holding us back. I mean, why did that second son say yes and then not get round to it? Was he just too busy? Maybe. Are we too busy to really get stuck in? Are we a bit worried maybe about getting it wrong? Well, you know, on our little drama sketch, going on, well, you know, if I'd phoned Mum, she would have just got cross with me. I don't want to risk that. And maybe there's an element that sometimes we say, I don't want to talk to my neighbour about coming to church because they just get cross with me. Will they? Maybe we don't trust God to provide for us financially. I mean, as a church, we have seen so many exciting answers to that in prayer. The new windows, the provision for the gym, the provision for the garden. We've had so many answers. When we're taking that little step of faith, maybe you as an individual need to practice doing that in your own life as well. And maybe it's a lack of vision of what God wants to do through us. And the little thing that Neil alluded to, the fig tree that Jesus got cross with because it hadn't got fruit on it. It's a bit of a sort of angry moment, isn't it? It's a bit of a strange story in some ways. But Jesus goes on to say, if you have faith, you can ask God to make change and he will do it. And if we're having that little step of faith, that vision of what God wants to do through us, I believe he delights to step in and bring these dreams and these visions to pass. We're going to have three more verses, the ones in red. So if you've got a red verse, we'll hear from you and let's all hear what God's saying to us through those. Thank you, Peter. Do you want to start?
This is James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
Thank you. Who's got a red verse? Teresa, do you want to read yours out? That's an amazing verse. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power, of action, of transformation. Which one are you in? Is it all up here and words, or is that inner reality of change and transformation happening? There's one more out there. Who's got? Oh, you're lovely. There you go.
Yes, John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Loving in actions and in truth. It's easy to say to somebody, I'll pray for you, but then we need to take that step and actually do it. It's easy to say, it's lovely to see you to someone, but then to take the next step to really show support for them in whatever way. So in summary, done really, really well. I'm going to bring you back to those four things that we looked at. Because I believe Jesus calls us to name him as our King. He calls us to prioritize prayer and not chase the money as the first priority in our life. To have childlike faith and trust God every day. God, I'm really worried about what's going to go on today. I'm going to trust you with that. Will you show me what to do? And to have that vision, that faith that God wants to grow fruit, grow good stuff in our lives. Maybe for your family. Maybe for your community, for your church. God calls us to that. We're going to finish with a little video clip I found, which is actually in German. Now, if your German isn't up to scratch, there are subtitles. But I'm just going to very briefly, in case reading the subtitles is not great for you, this is an older lady who has been true to what God called her to do, which was to help people who need support in their lives. I found it very touching and moving. And this is not about saying what a wonderful woman this is, but to say this is an example of what God wants to do in every single person's life, young and old. No matter what you think your limitations are, God wants to use you to bring about change. And he just requires you to say yes and take that first step towards him.